The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, and especially this program, today's special. Salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, and welcome to this episode under the topic of sleeping. Of course, we'll look at sleeping in the view of Islam. I invite you to be with this episode of today's special.
You're my
open the calendar. Today, Thursday, is the 8th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special from IRIB English Radio by recitation of chapter and fall verse 11.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wama ja'alahu Allahu illa bushra wa litatma'inna bihi qulubukum. Wama an-nasru illa min 'indillah. Inna Allaha 'azizun hakim.
And Allah made it not but good tidings, and so that your hearts would be assured thereby. And victory is not but from Allah. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When the Battle of Badr occurred, at first, the wells of drinking water were under the control of the enemy, and the Muslims were terrified. After that, it rained and the land under their feet became firm so that they would not slip, and it used them to be encouraged. During the war, the ability of having a slumber for a striver is a great bounty of Allah. It both removes the occasional fatigue and does not let the enemy have the opportunity of a light attack. By the help of Allah's will, it is also possible for a striver to have a calm, giving sleep while confronting the mass of armed enemies.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ilayka qalban yadhubu hubban bin nuri wal-iman. Ilayka qalban yadhubu hubban bin nuri wal-iman. Bin nuri wal-iman.
We are speaking about sleep in the view of Islam. It is not good to sleep excessively beyond what one needs, or to live in such a way that all one cares about is eating and sleeping, or to sleep just out of laziness. Still, a normal amount of sleep can be considered a part of worship, especially in the month of Ramadan. And what is normal or required varies from person to person and at different ages of our lives. Sometimes it is valuable to reduce sleep for the sake of worship. And of course, there is nothing wrong with being awake, because one needs to be awake, one wants to be awake, or one simply can't sleep. And of course, it is good to be awake on Laylatul Qadr. But in general, in order to be a healthy, functioning person, it is good to get the amount of sleep that one needs. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the importance of sleeping. It's indicated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to brush his teeth at least three times a night. Before going to bed. The next time, when he woke up in order to get prepared for a midnight prayers, and another one when he wanted to get outdoors in order to perform his morning prayer together with his companions. And according to the indications he received from the Archangel Gabriel, he used to keep with himself his toothbrush in order to be able to brush his teeth whenever he found it necessary to do so. At the same time, according to certain hadiths, whenever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up, he used to brush his teeth. Perhaps, there was health consideration in doing this, in addition to feeling refreshed, psychologically speaking. Concerning other practices of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because at that time it wasn't like this, that water pipes were available in people's houses. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to keep a container full of water beside himself. Then whenever he woke up, he had easy access to water for performing wudu prior to as a prerequisite for performing salat.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
The etiquette of sleeping. Sleep in a clean area. While many people sleep in a bed, you can sleep anywhere as long as it's clean and comfortable. Before sleeping, it is sunnah and lifestyle of the Holy Prophet to dust your bed lightly to make sure it is clean enough for sleeping in. The Prophet of Islam said, "When one of you goes to bed, let him dust off his bed, for he does not know what came onto it after he left it." It is also encouraged to change the sheets, blankets, and pillowcases at least weekly to ensure you always sleep in a clean bed. Knowing how to nap. Sleeping doesn't always have to be done in the night. Having short naps during the day can help re-energize you and continue the day properly. Naps should be about 15 to 30 minutes long. No matter than that, since napping for too long will leave you feeling groggy when you wake up.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Hygiene of sleep. Sleeping on the back is unhealthy. It causes congestion of the spine, which sometimes results in night discharges. Sleeping on the face is an unsound practice. Sleeping mostly on the left side is injurious to health because it causes embarrassment of the heart and consequent interference with the blood supply of brain. It also causes distressing dreams, somnambulism, and nightmares. Scientific postures for sleep is lying on the right side. These facts have been established by modern medical research and they go to long way to prove the divine quality of Islamic teachings as the Master Prophet Muhammad recommended to his followers to sleep on the right side. The head, moreover, should point to the north because magnetic currents are constantly passing from north to south and they are in some mysterious manner connected with our nerves, which the body should not oppose. It is inadvisable to go to sleep soon after the evening meal, the old proverb. After supper, walk a mile holds good at all times. Islam advises the Muslims to say their Isha or late evening prayer, in particular, in congregation in a mosque. This commandment is good for the soul as well as for the body.
So a question, a very important question. How much sleep do we need? On average, every person, how much sleep do we need? According to the National Sleep Association, school children, they need anywhere from 9 to 11 hours of sleep every night. Teenagers, they need anywhere from 8 to 10 hours of sleep every night. Of course, some of them think they need 15 hours of sleep, but they actually need anywhere from 8 to 10. Adults need anywhere from 7 to 9. Older adults need anywhere from 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And according to scientists, that the most perfect amount of sleep generally is 7 to 8 hours. If you are getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep, you're healthy, you're living, you're blessed, and you will maintain good health. If you're sleeping more than that, that's too much. If you're sleeping less, that's too little. Similarly, Islam says the same. Islam agrees with scientists. Or scientists agree with Islam, because Islam said this before scientists. Islam also advocates for moderate hours of sleep. Islam says sleep. You need sleep to relax. Islam and sleep is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Everyone has to sleep. Animals, humans, you need it to relax. You need it for your body. You need it for your memory. You need it for your immune system. However, sleep in moderation. Too little sleep is not enough. There's some people, they think that with 3 hours or 4 hours of sleep, they'll be fine. No. You might be fine for one day, for 2 days, but I assure you on the third day you will crash. And it will affect your health. It will affect your immune system. No, 3 or 4 hours is too little. And 11 and 12 hours is too much. Islam says be moderate when it comes to sleep. In one hadith, من كثر نومه جاء يوم القيامة فقيرا. Who he sleeps too much will come on the day of judgment poor. Poor, because he slept his time. He spent his time in sleeping. He didn't pray, he didn't worship, he didn't recite Quran, he didn't do good deeds. He didn't serve the community, he didn't serve his brothers and sisters. He will come on the day of judgment poor. Poor not of money, but poor of good deeds, you will come poor.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic. I mean, sleeping in the view of Islam. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and our heartiest congratulations to you all on yet another anniversary of the glorious victory of the Islamic Revolution. As Iran steps into its 43rd year as the role model of popular religious rule for all the peoples and all countries, to the detriment of the hypocrites, the terrorists, the Zionists, the Wahhabis, the imperialists, and the entire unjust system of global arrogance. We have chosen for you a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, that seems to refer to the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, who changed for good the destiny of the Iranian people. A man from Qom will rise and invite people towards the truth. Around him will gather people like slabs of iron, who will stand firm against strong winds and storms, and will never get tired of war. They know not fear and have trust in Allah. The outcome is for the pious.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a beautiful and noble tradition narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam regarding the congregational prayers, the Salatul Jama'at. This tradition points to the dangers of foregoing the congregational prayers when there is no excuse not to pray in congregation. The Prophet ﷺ said the following regarding a group of people who used to delay praying in congregation in the mosque and instead prayed in their own homes. So you have a group of people who lived close to the mosque and who were very and who had the opportunity to pray in the mosque, and they could have prayed the prayers, performed the ritual prayers in congregation, but they didn't. They decided they were lazy, or for whatever reason, without a good reason, they prayed in their own homes instead. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says the following regarding such people: a people who neglect to pray in the mosque almost become deserving of having firewood piled at their doors and set alight so that their houses burn down on them. So the Prophet says that if there's a group of people and they do such a thing, meaning they forego the congregational prayers, they forego the praying in the mosque without a due reason, the Prophet expresses his anger with them and says that these people, they deserve to have those houses burned down. If those houses are the ease and luxury of those houses is preventing them from praying in the mosque, these houses are a source of chastisement for them in the hereafter. God Almighty, what's the good of such houses if they're preventing such people from being so lazy and being spiritually negligent of the rewards of the congregational prayers? Such houses deserve to be burned down. The Prophet is expressing his anger in this tradition regarding such people. Of course, we're not talking about a person who is not in the proximity of a mosque or has a due excuse for not praying in the congregation. But he's old, he cannot walk to the mosque, or, the weather is not suitable for him to go to the mosque, or like for people in the West, sometimes the mosques are very far away. These people are obviously exceptions and are not included in this curse of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, we should here allude to another important point, and that's this, that praying in the congregation, aside from the other worldly rewards that it has, is also beneficial from another point of view, and that is that congregating in the mosque with other believers has a good effect on building the bonds and strengthening the bonds between Muslims and fortifying the love of Muslims for one another. And from this point of view, it's also beneficial. Thank you for joining us here on the Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Everyone, الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم اجعل فرج محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
When we said Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Muhammad Yahya started Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik That was good. He was thinking about praying Salat and Haram, right? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Okay, thank you so much. And I just forgot to tell you, the holy month of
Faraj. No.
Faraj.
Can I say it?
Dahi Fajr.
No.
Rajab.
The holy month of Rajab. The holy month of Rajab. So this is one of.
We have Rajab right now.
Month of Rajab. Yeah, the holy month of Rajab. So this holy month. What is the next month? Sha'ban, the next
Ramadan.
Month?
Ramadan.
This three, inshallah, he will get a party, okay? He will invite us and he will give us gifts, okay?
Yeah, gifts.
Yes,
no,
Mahdi?
I really don't want anything unless my PlayStation and my dolls.
Doll?
I mean by a big, I mean by a big beer. Lion that I want to rip.
Oh,
okay.
Rip?
Yeah, a big fat lion, teddy bear.
So these three holy months are very, very holy months and important, respected, okay? And inshallah, you will be granted a lot of blessings if you worship Allah Almighty. The very important thing in every aspect, in every single minute and single second, single moment of life is to follow the sayings of
Prophet and
Allah Almighty, yes? To follow the sayings of Allah Almighty, to care about the halal and haram things, okay?
Yeah.
That is the first thing we have to do as Muslims. The second thing, okay? Then the next step is to do mustahab things like salawat, reciting Quran, okay? The first thing is to care about halal and haram. If Allah Almighty says, do the prayers, okay? On time, we have to do the prayers.
On time.
Yes, okay? And also what? God forbid, saying lies. These things should not be in our life, okay? Especially in these three holy months, okay? Then inshallah, the next steps are the mustahab things, okay? Yeah.
So, but every month is very good month.
Of course, all the months are good, okay? But Allah Almighty, the blessings, the mercy of Allah Almighty, okay? Will be showering, okay? In these 3 months more than the other months. Understood? Yeah. Okay, so.
And it's my birthday in this 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
In all these 3 months?
Not in 3 months. In one of the months.
This is vibrating by itself.
What? So you said this is a holy month and a very holy month.
Yeah, it is kind of losing the confidence when it looks at you.
No, sir. It's actually just vibrating by itself. I look down, nothing's happening.
Yes.
And this phone is not even touching that.
Because you're touching the table.
No, we're not touching the table. It's just...
No problem, okay? It is just frightened of you. It's scared of you, okay?
Chinese
from you.
Ghost.
No, be scared.
No, you're not a ghost. You're reciting very well, okay? It loves it and it shakes. Wow, very nice. Very well, yes? So, let's go, inshallah, continue.
You're sitting with the ghost.
Surah. Ready, inshallah? Yes. We were practicing Surah Al-A'la, Sabbih isma rabbika al-A'la, up to verse
9.
Wa nuyassiruka lil-yusra. Okay, again, let's go. We'll start. Let's change it. Let's start from Hadi this time.
So much verse.
Fadhakir. Mahdi. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Student of Quran forgetting saying A'udhu Billah and Bismillah.
Sir, I don't recite. Just please.
Okay, we'll start with Minhal Hussein this time.
Yes.
A'udhu Billah min Shaitan Jim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Fadhakir in nanfa'ti zikra.
In? نفعت الذكرى
إن نفعت الذكرى
محمد يحيى
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى
أحسن هذه
مي
يا يو
فذكر إن نف
فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى
فذكر إن نفعت نفعت الذكرى
هذه look at the حركات إن نفعت say
إن نفعت
all have فتحة
إن نفعت
now join T with ذال say إن نفعت الذكرى again إن
نفعت الذكرى
ظل by the way نفعت الذكرى أحسن مهدي no I'm talking to Hadi don't be afraid okay if you are afraid because you have to when you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم شيطان comes there okay to make you scared okay just say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم okay
so all I have to do is say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم and because
it's
gonna stop shaking this
okay mashallah He's saying shaitan is just shaking this one.
Yeah, he's scared. He's scared.
Okay.
Not scared.
One, two, three. Lesson two. Mahdi.
Wait, do I still have to say the Bismillah?
No, it's okay. Go
I
on.
Guess A'udhu Billah.
Because we say it at the beginning.
It happened again. Whatever. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى
I will say the best.
فَذَكِّرْ إِن نفعت الذكرى
هو سيد
بزك
محمد
طب سيد بزكر Please.
Muhammad Yahya.
Thank you.
For the first time.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Next ayah, Muhammad Yahya.
He should.
Min Halasain, yes, Min Halasain, sorry.
Sayazak Raman Yaksha.
Tell us the harakat in this word, Sayazakar.
Harakat?
Yeah.
Fata, fata.
Sayazak.
Tashdid, fata. Tashdid, fata. Zama.
Okay, now separately.
Yazak.
Okay, Hadi and Mahdi. Okay, pay attention to Min Halasain. So, now, I mean, say the letters with the harakat separately.
Sa-yaz.
Okay, sa-yaz.
Sa-yaz-zak-karu.
Again, because of this tajdeed, okay?
Sa-yaz-zak-karu man yakhsha.
Ahsan. Join that noon with ya, okay?
Okay.
Merge them. May.
Sa-yaz-zak-karu man yakhsha.
When you merge them, the noon changes to ya then. Sa-yaz-zak-karu. ذكروا من يخشى أحسن محمد يحيى
سيذكر من يخشى.
He was saying that Min Halasain got wrong. سيذكر. He did himself the same way. Again. تشديد. Two تشديد we
have. سيذكر من يخشى.
That was correct. MashaAllah. Hadi.
Hadud. Sayyid a'udhu billahi minash shaitan.
That's correct.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim.
Okay. Sayyid dhakkaru man yakhsha.
Ahsan. That was good.
Sayyid dhakkaru man yakhsha.
Recite it.
Yeah,
like. Recite it.
Good. No,
it was bad. Recite
it. Sayyid dhakkaru. Karu min yakhsha.
Recite
it in a beautiful voice.
So
who
said
the surah?
So, sayyadhakkaru
min yakhsha.
Right?
Who was the best?
Muhammad Yahya. Okay, and Min Halasain. That was great. Next ayah, wa yatajannabuha al-ashqa.
This is hard.
Again, the tashdeed. Pay attention to tashdeed.
Okay. Wa yatajanna.
Focus to the recite at the recitation of Min Halasain.
وَيَتَجَنَّبُلْ بُحْ
مَلْ.
Is this me?
After ba, yeah, we have ha.
No, it's ha, sorry.
Ha.
وَيَتَجَنَّبُلْ
بُحَلْ
أَشْقَى.
Once more.
وَيَتَجَنَّهُ بُهَ الْأَشْقَى.
No, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَ الْأَشْقَى.
وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَ الْأَشْقَى.
أحسن محمد يحيى.
وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَ الْأَشْقَى.
أحسن. هادي.
Okay.
هادي, practice the إلغام as well.
Okay.
With نون تشديد.
Okay.
وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَ الْأَشْقَى.
MashaAllah. Let's see. He has gotten the most votes.
Me?
Yeah. Go on. Let's see Hadi. Mahdi.
ويتجنبل.
Once again. ويتجنبل.
Sir, my voice is tired.
Yeah, he recited a lot today, that's why he's tired now.
What's so, the best?
Hadi,
my voice is not tired.
Allah.
Muhammad Yahya and Hadi. That's great. So, next one.
Yeah. Allazi yaslan nar al kubra.
Qalqala, do the qalqala with ba. It will be the best, I think.
Oh.
Allazi. Go on. Yes.
Okay. Allazi yaslan nar al kubra.
Kubra or kubra?
Kubra.
Kubra.
Ahsan.
الذي يصل النار الكبرى
را
كبرى
again
را elevator الذي يسلى النار الكبرى.
يسلى or يس.
Yes,
okay. Mr. Elevator, listen to your partner.
Okay, me?
Hadi.
Yeah, you.
Mehdi, are you tired? Are you tired?
No,
you can
I'm
skip
tired.
Reciting for a while, okay?
I'm fine now.
Fine now? Okay, so. Go on.
Okay.
الذي يصلى النار كبرى.
Okay, there is a sukun, right?
Yeah, يصلى.
Okay, when there is a sukun on the top of any letter, you have to get help. Okay, ask for help. يصلى النار الكبرى.
Okay.
الذي يصلى النار الكبرى.
Can you say الذي? Why do you forget this?
Okay, I read it again.
It should be like the sugar cube, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to forget it.
الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارُ الْكُبْرَى الْكُبْرَى.
أحسن. So do it again. Fix the mistake without mistake.
الَّذِي
يَصْلَى النَّارُ الْكُبْرَى. Oh my God.
الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارُ الْكُبْرَى.
أحسن. Hadi Mahdi.
I was done.
Hadi Mahdi.
الذي يصلى النار الكبرى. الذي يصلى النار الكبرى.
Who was the baddest?
I think I was the best this time.
No, baddest.
No,
baddest.
You said you're not doing it.
Sir,
no,
baddest.
You're not I counting. You're not counting.
Okay, so Muhammad Yahya.
Sir, who was the baddest?
I was the baddest.
No,
we
read,
don't
read,
have
no,
the baddest. No. We
read,
have
read,
the worst.
Read.
The worst ever.
Read it.
Okay. Minhal Hussain, the next ayah, come on.
Wait, sir, I will try to read
best?
Bad.
Okay.
Sir, who's the best?
That no was one. Muhammad Yahya.
Muhammad Yahya. موتوا فيها ولا يحيى.
Oh, he was saying because of this, I think. He was asking me to recite it faster because of his name.
You take my turn. I don't want to do this anymore.
God bless you, inshallah. Thanks for joining us. And also, Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world hearing us on IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much. And let's thank the IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International School.
No, who said?
Yeah. All our reciters, all our reciters, okay?
All
because
reciters.
Every time you all were being chosen, okay, as best reciters. Yes. Thank you so much. God bless, inshallah.
Yeah, we thank IRIB.
Stay with us, okay? Next coming sessions, inshallah, we'll be again with you. Thank you so much. Let's recite a salawat. اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when
so many others have strayed. Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. دين الإسلام ديني والعظم غير ديني محمد اللي هديني. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
We are talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, you know, we see it on and off in today's world that some of the cities, in fact, are getting reshaped by the city hall, the municipality. There are some civil rules that need to be, in fact, applied to different parts of the town or cities. So sometimes it happens that some of these mosques, in fact, The place where the mosque, in fact, they stand on happened to be like on the way, for example, of a road construction or something like that. So in that case, if the building of a mosque is removed or destroyed by the municipality of that town or city, should we treat the land of the mosque as part of the mosque? Still, it is considered as mosque or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, if a building, if a mosque is demolished by, let's say, by municipality, of course, and a road crosses through that part of the land of the mosque,
yes,
that piece of land is no longer considered to be a mosque. It is not treated as mosque,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, it's permissible to make it impure.
Yes.
And if it is made impure, it's not necessary to purify it because it's no longer considered to be mosque, you know. But of course, when it comes to mosques which are dilapidated, which are no longer used, they
deserted,
are in bad
yes.
shape, you know, those buildings mm-hmm. Which are in ruins, but they used to be mosques in the past.
Yes.
Those places are still considered to be mosques, and of course it's not permissible as an obligatory precaution to make them impure or to let's say to use them for any other purposes, you know. But when it comes to a demolished mosque, completely demolished, mm-hmm. and roads have passed through that place of the mosque or that place where the mosque used to stand is no longer considered to be a mosque.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What about the third testimony, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you know, that part of the azan that we always offer, in fact, or say, is it really the part of the azan or a necessary part of the azan or iqamah?
Well, there is a consensus among all religious authorities that the third testimony, Ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah, is not a part of either adhan or iqama. Okay? But both the religious authorities, Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, have clearly stated that one can recite this zikr with the absolute niyyah, not with the niyyah, not as a part of the adhan or iqama, just as an absolute mustahab zikr.
Mm-hmm.
As an absolute mustahab zikr or recital, it is permissible for a person to recite these two, this zikr or the third testimony in adhan or iqama. And I've seen some scholars deliberately avoiding to recite this zikr in their prayers sometimes, you know. But if a person, you know, considers this zikr or this, testimony as a part, then there is a problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
does that make the prayer void?
No, it doesn't make the prayer void. Because adhan and iqama are not actually a part of the main mm-hmm. body of the prayer, you
yes.
know. These two adhan are said before one starts offering prayer. Aqama is also
But the iqama is attached to the prayer.
There can be a gap. For example, when you recite the adhan, you can walk here, you can offer two rakas of prayer. It is recommended, actually.
Mm-hmm.
When you recite the adhan, it's recommended to walk two steps or backward or forward,
uh-huh. okay.
and then start offering reciting iqamah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to walk a step, then it's recommended to offer two rakas of prayer between adhan and iqamah. This
see.
Is what Ayatollah Khamenei has uh-huh. expressly and candidly has clearly stated. And then the iqama is there. Iqama, when you finish the iqama, you can still walk around and then start your prayer.
I see.
And the prayer is started by making your niyyah and reciting takbiratul ihram.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because niyyah is the basic element of the prayer. And then takbiratul ihram is the next basic element of the prayer. And the prayer starts with the niyyah.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break. Stay with us. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, talking about rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, I wanted to ask you about something that we can hear and see every day in especially Muslim-dominated areas where they broadcast adhan through the loudspeakers of the mosque. What is the Islamic law about this?
Grand Ayatollah Khamenei has said that if the adhan is broadcast in the usual conventional manner, just as we see usually, every mosque has loudspeakers, they broadcast the adhan through the loudspeakers. This is the conventional method of adhan. Adhan is meant to inform the people about the timing of the prayer. So there is no problem. Even if we know that there are some people who may not like or may not, who may be disturbed by the adhan. Adhan has to be said loudly, you know, loudly. But
there is always a volume. You can turn it up or down, right?
Yes.
And sometimes the louder speakers are too noisy.
Okay.
Too loud.
The adhan is intended to declare the timing, to inform the people to come to the mosque and start praying, offering their congregational prayers or not, or maybe individual prayers. Okay, the time is to be declared. So it has to be the louder the voice or the sound, the better it could be.
Yes.
And some, but, depending from place to place. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. But that kind of law, I think, belongs to the past, because nowadays we have television, we have radio, we have internet, everybody knows, because there is cell phone and you know what the time of the prayer is, basically.
You know, this justification or argument is brought up by certain people. And they might justify themselves, you know, in order to, let's say, suppress the adhan, the sound of adhan, and to stop this tradition, an Islamic tradition, which is one of the signs of a city being Muslim or the people being Muslim. So many people might justify themselves bringing this excuse. Okay, we have the clock, we have the mobile phone and everything, and the alarm clock is there, so why do we have to call the adhan? I think this justification is out of place. It's misplaced. And but when it comes to, let's say, to broadcasting the recitation of the Quran or in recitation of anything else like that, you see?
What about the recitation of the Quran or other supplications through the loudspeakers? Are they also permissible as the adhan?
Well, that's different, you know. Ayatollah Khamenei has said that, of course, when it comes to the Quran, if it is causing trouble or creating problem for the neighbors and people are or disturbed by the sound of the recitation, then it's not permissible to use the loudspeaker to broadcast the recitation of the Quran. Especially, you know, we see that in some cities, before the adhan starts, you know, for 5 hours, for 5 minutes, let's say, for 5 minutes, for 3 minutes at least, there is the Quran recitation, and then after the recitation, then there is the adhan, you know. Ayatollah Khamenei says that, okay, this recitation, that has to be, you know, the sound of the recitation of the Quran should not disturb the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, then it is not permissible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you for listening to the program, Islamic